What do one of the world's top food cities, a nationally celebrated zoo and science museum, and a Condé Nast Traveler Top 10 Best Big City in the Country have in common? Yes, it's Columbus. This isn't just a stop on the map. It's where award-winning flavors, unforgettable family moments, and big city buzz come together. Let's be honest, Columbus is turning heads. For top-of-the-line discoveries in your own backyard, visit experiencecolumbus.com/summer.
What defines Ohio? A place that dares to go first and never looks back. There's no slowing us down. In Ohio, we're powering America, discovering breakthroughs, driving the future, propelling tomorrow. At Jobs Ohio, our mission is clear: strengthen job opportunities and empower Ohio's workforce. Ohio, our time is now. See Ohio's momentum at jobsohio.com/ohio's time.
Hello and welcome back to Page 94's Paul Foote Award shortlist mini-series. Let's find out who is the fourth of the six journalists shortlisted for this year's award.
Page 94, the Private Eye podcast.
My name is Peter Gagan and I am the editor of Democracy for Sale.
And what is the story that's brought you to the Paul Foote Awards?
I'm at the Paul Foote Awards for a story that I did with my colleague Khadija Sharif, which was all about how Labour Together, the campaign group slash think tank behind Keir Starmer, had hired a PR firm called APCO to investigate a bunch of journalists who had been reporting on their undeclared political funding, undeclared funding that was used to power Keir Starmer's rise to power.
Okay, so quite a significant one. Can you tell us a bit more about Labour Together, just for anyone who hasn't been keeping on top of Starmerite think tanks recently?
If you've not heard of Labour Together, they've actually, since this story went out, they've changed their name. I think this story actually possibly contributed to the change of the name. They're now called, as of last week, Think Labour. But basically, Labour Together was the kind of think tank campaign group, call it what you want, that was set up by various people after Jeremy Corbyn won the Labour leadership in 2015. It was set up by various people in various wings of the Labour Party, as the name suggests, as a way as a kind of cross-party organisation, broadly opposed to Corbyn, looking to see where else Labour should go. Over time, though, a very familiar name to many people became very involved, Morgan McSweeney. Morgan McSweeney took over as the head of Labour Together. He then became Keir Starmer's chief of staff. But throughout the period and up until the 2024 general election, which Labour obviously won, Labour Together was a very important organisation. It's important for a bunch of reasons. One was it was quietly, wasn't that public about it, was really doing a lot of polling and focus group for Keir Starmer. So it was kind of pushing Starmer's campaign, but also was taking in lots and lots of money. It took in millions and millions of pounds of donations. It used that money to do things like run polling and focus groups, but also gave out money to politicians, to would-be politicians, to Labour people, to people that were aligned with Starmer and the kind of Labour Together project. So it was a very kind of significant, important organisation, especially kind of in the makeup of the government that we have now.
Yes, I mean, as you said in the story, the various MPs they backed include about half a dozen who reached senior cabinet positions: Rachel Reeves, David Lammy, Shibana Mahmood, Darren Jones. Lots of people had received Labour Together money. Obviously, that will be regulated, I'm sure. Can you tell us a bit more about who's in charge of the regulation, who's supposed to be doing it?
The crux of this story really was when Labour Together was kind of becoming this big, powerful political machine. Like, really, for a good few years at the start of Labour Together, it had been a kind of slightly kumbaya cross Labour thing where they'd polled, you know, they'd write the odd report and they'd hold the odd meeting. Under Morgan McSweeney, it changed. They got an office in just south of the river in London, had a little pirate flag in the office, kind of sense of, you know, we're buccaneering out in the high seas. And at that stage, money started coming in. Money often from big former Labour donors who'd stopped giving money to party under Jeremy Corbyn. So all the big money that used to go into Labour really started to flow away from it during Jeremy Corbyn. And it started going to Labour Together. So people like Martin Taylor, the hedge fund manager, Trevor Chin, the businessman, other people like that started funding Labour Together. And one of the things that happened was under McSweeney's watch was they didn't declare this money to the Electoral Commission for a very, very, very long time. So the Electoral Commission found that Labour Together had breached electoral rules more than 20 times by failing to declare this money. And fast forward to 2023, by which stage Morgan McSweeney is now chief of staff to Keir Starmer. He's a really important character. He's one, like, he's really in the driving seat of British politics. And Labour Together has now been run by a guy called Josh Simons. And at that point, a story appears in the Sunday Times in November 2023. And the story is all about this undeclared funding. It's about this money that hadn't been declared, which at this stage the Electoral Commission had fined Labour Together for, but no one had really looked at it that much. And it was looking at how this money was spent and how this money was spent to help Keir Starmer's campaign into the Labour leadership. And that was a crucial point for the start of my story.
Okay. We should say that some of money undeclared in donations was about £730,000.
Yeah.
What happens next after that story is run?
So after this story appears in the Sunday Times about this £730,000 of undeclared funding, Labour Together, under Josh Simons, decided to do something that I think, you know, you and I would, this is what you do if a negative press story came out. They hired a lobbying firm, a PR firm, a company called Abco Worldwide. I struggle to say exactly what they are because they sit in that kind of grey box of, you know, consultancy, advisory, intelligence, etc. But a big, big, well-known company, they hired Abco Worldwide. And they hired Abco Worldwide to investigate the sources of this story, particularly a journalist called Paul Holden, who is an important source for the Sunday Times story, but also Gabriel Pogrond and Harry York at the Sunday Times, Henry Dyer, who by that stage had gone to the Guardian, but had also written about Labour Together as well. And so Abco Worldwide were given a brief to go and investigate where did these sources had come from, but also to put out information into the media to try and change the narrative around this.
That's a very polite way of saying it, to change the narrative.
Yes, it is a very polite way of saying it.
Can we say to discredit the story and the journalists?
I think you can, actually. I should be a little bit less. Yeah, they paid Abco Worldwide to discredit these journalists, to discredit their work, where they come from. And that was how they were trying to stop this story dead.
I think we should also just pause and reflect for a moment on how extremely unusual this is. This is really not common, even if a negative story is printed about you, to effectively commission a firm to discredit the story. It's rare.
I've never seen this before. So, but when I was coming up to publication of this story, and you know, this as a journalist, what you often do is I ring people in Worlds to sense check. You know, to sense check, am I right about this? I spoke to senior political reporters, like, I have never heard of this report. I also spoke to a very good contact in the public affairs world, which is the same world as APCO. And they were shocked. They were like, Abco did this? Wow. And my favourite one was actually spoke to John Cruddas, who set up Labour Together. And he said, Peter, this is dark shit.
Can you tell us what methods Abco were using to discredit the story?
Well, so it was very interesting. So what Abco did was they put together, there was a brief which we were able to obtain that Abco put together for Labour Together. So they paid just over £30,000 to do this work. And they did things like what we call OSINT, human intelligence. So effectively, which means going and talking to people, talking to sources, putting together a kind of a report, a brief, kind of online sleuthing, looking for information online, and just effectively trying to find any intelligence they could from anyone. So talking surreptitiously to people who might know some of the people involved. The briefs themselves, the material that APCO put together, I have to say, it's quite shocking, actually. What they said in their material is really, like, it's full of aspersions. It suggests that the stories, these negative stories, are the product of a Russian hack of the Electoral Commission, for which there was no evidence. When I was breaking this story, I asked both Abco and Labour Together, you know, if you thought you were hacked, why did you hire a PR firm? They didn't do any investigation into cybersecurity. It was all about, like, understanding where this material had come from and trying to smoke out the sources, which is, as a journalist, is incredibly dangerous. If you're trying to, like, find out where the sources of someone's story is.
Yeah.
And it was done by a guy called Tom Harper, who used to work for the Sunday Times. So Tom Harper was a Sunday Times, and he headed up APCO Worldwide's Europe division. He's now left APCO. Mm-hmm. And Tom was the person in charge of putting together these briefs. And in the briefs, they talk about the persons of significant interest, who are these journalists. Yeah. They suggest where these stories might have come from. They cast aspersions about the religious and political identity of the journalists involved. It's quite murky stuff. And this was fed, the idea was to feed this into the media ecosystem to discredit the work. And it's quite striking that what could and should have been a huge story, you know, this is a story of undeclared funding that powers the next prime minister. It really did disappear. It didn't go very far.
So it worked.
I think it did work. I think by the time the story recurred again was when Paul Holden brought out his book in 2025, the story came. But by that stage, you know, we'd had an election. Josh Simons was an MP, then became a junior minister in a cabinet office. Morgan McSweeney was Keir Starmer's right-hand man in Downing Street.
Yeah.
So to all intents and purposes, if the idea was to stop this negative story from having a political impact, it did at the time. I'd argue that our story maybe changed that.
Yes. What happened after your story?
Yeah, a lot. I'll try not to get too into the weeds of this. So we published our story in early February, and it's fair to say that Democracy for Sale's a new organisation, only a couple of years old. We've had some big stories. People, you know, we had 3 million reads last year, which I'm very proud of. But this story really did kind of break our small servers. You know, it really was. It went gangbusters. And we published, if people remember, it was the moment where Keir Starmer and Morgan McSweeney were under huge pressure on Peter Mandelson. So we published a story and we kind of revealed that ABCO had been hired. We were able to name the company, name the amount of money, like put information from the reports into public domain and really kind of put a lot of information out there.
And we should say that Josh Simons, who took over running Labour Together from Morgan McSweeney, had since then become a Labour MP.
Yes, Josh Simons is now a Labour MP. So the story goes out within 3 days, actually. It was really interesting to see how quickly the story started to travel, because it was really clear Morgan McSweeney had actually resigned a couple of days after the initial story in the wake of Peter Mandelson. Josh Simons also came out fighting, saying this was all untrue, we were hacked and we did an investigation into it, nothing to see here. Very quickly that started to unravel, and it was very interesting to kind of watch that process in real time, because the government really didn't want to deal with this story. ABCO is part of a thing called the PRCA, which is a kind of trade body for the PR industry. So they announced that they're going to do an investigation into ABCO. 3 months later, that investigation still hasn't reported. But anyway, so they said, we're going to do this. When the story broke, there was pressure on Labour, on the government to do something. And actually, Liz Kendall said, oh no, the regulator for the PR industry is already looking at this. The PR industry has no regulation. It's part of the problem. All of this sort of work exists off the books, is not published anywhere. The information about that is happening is seen nowhere. Quickly, as pressure did start to mount, we kept on publishing more and more stories around it, and other media really picked up on the story too. You know, we were able to reveal more about Josh Simons' involvement. We were able to reveal more about the fact that ABCO Worldwide, at the time, one of their senior people was also an advisor to Labour Together. So there was a lot of connections there, and we were able to put a lot more of that in the public domain. Larry Magnus, who advises on ministerial ethics, did an investigation in which he did talk about how Simons had become a distraction. And so the pressure did start to mount. Simons eventually resigned from his post in the cabinet office just a couple of hours after the first bombs dropped on Tehran, if people remember that from Donald Trump. So some might suggest that might have been a good time to bury bad news. Josh Simons was forced to resign on the back of this story. Since then, we've actually published more stories about it as well. Tom Harper's had to leave ABCO. There's, I think, rightly, a sense in which the story asks big questions, not just about who knew what within the Labour Party, who knew what within Labour Together at the time, but also how do these companies operate? As you say, like, we only find out about these things when it comes into the public domain. This only came into the public domain through a lot of journalism. It took months to do this story, to tell this story. What else is happening that we just don't know anything about?
And we should add one final coda, which is that Josh Simons has, of course, just resigned his seat to allow Andy Burnham to stand in a by-election. So it's possible you've started something that I don't think you're going to be able to control, Peter. Are you really running things?
Look, just on the down low, Andy. Don't tell anybody at the Paul Foote Awards about this, but actually,
I'll say no more. Thank you very much, Peter.
Thank you very much.
So that's it for today's Shortlist Eat. We'll be back with another one tomorrow. We'll see you then.
What do one of the world's top food cities, a nationally celebrated zoo and science museum, and a Condé Nast Traveler Top 10 Best Big City in the Country have in common? Yes, it's Columbus. This isn't just a stop on the map. It's where award-winning flavors, unforgettable family moments, and big city buzz come together. Let's be honest, Columbus is turning heads. For top-of-the-line discoveries in your own backyard, visit experiencecolumbus.com/summer.
What defines Ohio? A place that dares to go first and never looks back. There's no slowing us down. In Ohio, we're powering America, discovering breakthroughs, driving the future, propelling tomorrow. At Jobs Ohio, our mission is clear. Strengthen job opportunities and empower Ohio's workforce. Ohio, our time is now. See Ohio's momentum at jobsohio.com/ohio's time.
Spring is sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save